Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Scott MacMeans with Action Coach SBL. We are here with Rachel Dersey from Effortless Budgeting, and we're going to take a few minutes just to learn about Rachel, her business, and where she sees herself in the next 5 years and how she got here. So with that, Rachel, I'm going to turn it over to you and give us a little bit of a background on Rachel and how you got involved in Effortless Budgeting.
Sure. I'll try to make it fast because it could be a long story. I am a financial wellness coach and the founder of Effortless Budgeting. And I really just work with couples and individuals on helping them be more confident and comfortable with their finances. And so as a child, I grew up in, you know, a fairly poor at home, where money was a constant stress and there was a lot of anxiety around money. And I felt that as a very young child. And so my whole life, I grew up with the mindset of, you know, be careful. You can't spend all your money. You got to save it, because you never know. And as I was growing up and getting older, I just kept thinking, I can't live like this when I get older. Like, I need to find a better way. And can't constantly stress about money when I am to a point where I can control the money coming in and the money going out. So I grew up and I taught myself those things. I taught myself credit scores and reports, and I taught myself debt and interest rates and, you know, budgeting and all those things that unfortunately we don't usually get taught in school. But I became very interested in those things because I had such an interest in moving forward and being able to survive on my own without panicking about money all the time. So I get into a mindset of sort of the opposite of that, where I was stressed out a lot about money because that's just how I grew up. But, so it took me some time, but throughout the years, I just have always been pretty good with my money because of all of those life lessons that I had. And so I had friends and family for years and years come to me and say, hey, like, could you help me? You know, maybe I got into a little bit of debt, or maybe I don't have enough money in the savings. Like, how do you do it? And so I was just sort of helping friends and family along the way. And then one day I just decided to go for it and decided to have a business and do this full time because I really, really, really have a passion for helping folks move away from that sort of constant anxiety around money into a more comfortable place with their finances.
I think that's a great passion to have. I'm interested to learn, you made a comment about being good with money, and I'm using quotes, good with money. Rachel, what does that mean in your world? What does it mean to be good with money?
Oh, that's such a loaded question. I guess the first thing I can say is it means something different to everybody, right? So you may feel like you are, quote, good with money, and you may have a lot less than your neighbor. Or you may feel like you are good with money, and that means you've got $100,000 in the bank. Like, it really means something different to everybody. And so it's really more of a feeling, like I feel good about where my money is as opposed to my money looks like this. You know, are you affording your bills and are you reaching your goals? It's not even, I can't even say like, oh, well, do you have money in the bank and do you have no debt? Because that's not reality either. Everyone has different goals and wants different things for their life. So feeling like you're doing well with your money is much more important than the actual, what your actual bank account looks like, because that's so different for everybody. I know people that have plenty of money. They make a good salary. They've got enough money in the bank and they are not feeling comfortable. So it's really just about when you get to a place where you're feeling comfortable and you're feeling confident in where your finances are.
Okay. So is it safe to assume, Rachel, that what you do at Effortless Budgeting is more along the lines of customizing programs for people based on what they're trying to do with their money, how much money they have coming in, and what their future goals are after they get quote unquote good with money? Is it that much of a personalized service, or is it very, very cookie cutter and you block and tackle your way through it? How does that work?
It's very personalized with some structure. So there is some structure to it. But it goes in different directions, right? So I start off talking about, you know, maybe this topic, and that's a topic I talk about with everybody, but that goes into different directions depending on my client. So while there may be sort of topics that I cover with all of my clients, the end result is very different with all of them because we do go in different directions. Because some people their goal is to simply just understand where their money's going, because that's can be a real challenge if folks aren't budgeting and aren't taught to do that. I have a lot of people come to me and say, you know, I got a raise and I don't notice a difference. Like, I'm not sure where my money's going, or I got a bonus at work and it's just kind of gone. I don't really know where it went. And so it could just be something as simple as that, or it could be, I have $70,000 in credit card debt and I'm not really sure where to go. I need some help organizing and figuring that out. And so like those two clients would look very different for me, because it is pretty personalized.
Okay. And with that in mind, kind of following that path a little bit, how would you describe your perfect client? Because I'm getting the feel that you can help just about anybody go from where they are to where they need to be via what their goal is. And since everybody has different goals and everybody has different starting positions, it appears like you could help anybody. So if I were to kind of narrow that down, or you would help me narrow that down, what would be your ideal client?
So I do think kind of anybody could benefit from at least a couple of sessions with me. But you know, if I was talking about my perfect client, it would go into more than just a couple of sessions. So that is more likely, first of all, couples, that is sort of my preference. I work with individuals and that's great, but I do prefer couples that are both sitting together on the call with me at the same time, discussing it together. So I would say an ideal client looks like a couple who says things like I've already said, like, I don't know where our money's going. I feel like we make decent money, but it just doesn't seem like at the end of the month we have much left over. And then also, I feel like we either don't talk about money at all because we're scared to broach that topic with each other, or when we do talk about it, it is not a pleasant experience and we end up yelling and arguing, which then of course makes us not want to talk about it. And then 2 months later, when something happens, we're arguing about it again. So while I have a passion for helping all kinds of people, I really do have a sort of an extra passion for helping couples have those conversations with each other and recognizing where each other's coming from. That's a big thing, is a lot of couples I see maybe have the same goal, but they don't recognize it because they're coming at it at very different ways, because they're two different people and they're not talking about it. Or they have very different goals, which is also perfectly fine, but they're not sitting down and talking about it. So they're not recognizing and sort of understanding where the other one's coming from. And they're not sharing their own feelings either with where they're coming from. And so that's what causes the tension. I know I'm getting a little off topic, but.
I don't think you're getting off topic. I think you're explaining, you combine your business, which is helping people understand their own financial situation. And in turn, that helps relationships
yes.
get beyond the anxiety that's associated with finances. Yes. And I think it's a valuable thing that people that may be in that situation can understand that there is a solution that they can go to, instead of, well, let's just get another credit card or let's get another loan. It's there's somebody that can actually help us through this.
Or
it's more than just the decimal points, right, on a spreadsheet. It's understanding the relationship that people have with money.
Yes.
And like you, I'm just hearing you say one member of the couple thinks about money this way, while another member of that same couple thinks about money in a very different way, but both of them have the same goal. And it is to have more money at the end of the month that they can do. So I envision your service and what you do as being above and beyond getting people on budget and making sure that they have the money they need to do the things that they have from a goal perspective, but it's also eliminating the stress between relationship partners so they can move forward without that burden on their shoulders. If I'm hearing what you're saying, and I think it's a wonderful service because I think a lot of people need it.
Yes. No, you are right. I mean, it's pretty common knowledge that, like, you know, sort of the quote is that money is the number one reason for arguments and breakups, but my counter argument to that is it's actually not the money. Like you said, it's not the decimal points and the numbers. It's the lack of communication around money. And so if folks are more open to talking about it, there's much more of an opportunity to have less stress about it. Even if their finances don't change, even if they are not making any more or making any less, you can alleviate a lot of that stress simply by talking about it.
I think that's great. I think it's really great. So I'm going to take a little different question here. When you're talking about the different clients you have, What qualities do you look for in your clients, and how do you foster that positive, productive working environment with your clients? I want to get a little bit beyond the type of person, but what are you looking for, and how do you get this working relationship going so people continue and want to work with you to get to the next level? That makes sense as far as a question?
Well, I'll answer and then you can tell me if I'm answering it correctly, how
Perfect.
you would like. I think the number one most important quality in anybody that's coming to me is a willingness to be open. If they're still shut down and they're not willing to be honest and open up about some of their feelings, then I'm not the right person for them to work with. So you do need to come in with an open mind. That doesn't mean you have to like disclose everything to me in the first 5 minutes, but it does mean you need to come in recognizing that you're going to have to open up and there could be some tough conversations. And so when I begin my work with clients, I do an initial consultation for free. And so we talk a little bit and try to just get to know each other a little bit. Like, what are your goals? Why do you even want to work with me? And I tell them a little bit about me. And I hope, I think that people feel like, you know, I'm a pretty easy to talk to person. And so that helps folks just open up because I'm not judgmental. We've all been there. We've all done things we kind of maybe wish we wouldn't have done. We all have things in our past that, you know, whatever. But the important thing is you have to recognize those things and move on. And I think that, you know, once they're in that right mindset and they meet me, they recognize that, okay, like, this is okay. Like nothing bad has happened because I've had this conversation with this person and I've opened up a little bit about my finances and I'm feeling okay. And obviously as time goes on, they feel better and better. The beginning part is always the tough part, which of course that's how it is with everything. It's like if I'm decided to start training to run a marathon and I've never ran before, the beginning part is going to be much tougher than, you know, week 20. So you just, you know, the I say all that at the beginning in the initial consultation, like this is the beginning part is going to be tough at times. But the more you do it, the easier it will be. And the more open you are, the more open I am. And, you know, then we're able to sort of understand and come to understand each other and what are my goal is for them and what their goals are, you know, with working with me.
Okay. I love the idea of taking people that are full of stress and finding a way to get that stress out of their head and out of their body, and most importantly, out of their relationship. So I give you kudos for doing all that. As we look at your business and how you've gotten to where you are right now, what would you say are the biggest learnings you've had since being on your own?
Where to start? I still consider myself fairly new in the business world, and so I'm still learning, and there's still things that I'm sort of surprised by, and you know that are challenging. But I think that's always how it's going to be. I think just how tough as like very specific as this is, as tough as the marketing piece is. It's I think like I regularly meet people that say similar things to what you've been saying, like what a great idea. And I think a lot of people could benefit from this. But getting that out there is really challenging. And then on top of that, I have chosen a profession where folks need to talk about something that often makes people feel uncomfortable. So not only am I no expert on marketing, it's also like there's probably a lot of people out there that are seeing some of my marketing or my social media or whatever and thinking, I could use that, but they're not reaching out because they're uncomfortable. That's really what I'm trying to do with my marketing, but it's just really challenging. It's just helping people understand like we should be talking about money. It's okay to talk about it. It's important to talk about it, but how to put that out there and get people to see it and get people to feel open and just even getting the right people to see it. I think marketing has been the biggest challenge for me.
Okay. And I would agree. Marketing is always the most challenging because it's the thing that generates the most activity, most interest, and push for people to want to interact and raise their hand and say, I need help. You and I share a very interesting concept with our client base, and that is humility They have to be humble enough to recognize there's a problem and ambitious enough to recognize that they need help.
Right.
That combination is necessary to move forward. And I think when you have somebody that has to go through that transition of, I don't want to do this anymore, to this is what I want, that little barrier, once it's breached, floodgates open and people are more than willing to open up and express what's wrong or what they need to have fixed. It's just that initial recognition, because they're so busy doing their day to day. They're so busy trying to get to the next month that they're not paying attention to, I am wasting my time doing this. I could be so much easier, or I could have such an easier situation, that I could be so much better if I just moved beyond this and got the help I need. So I agree with you. Letting people know that there is a problem is step one. Step two is having them recognize that and move forward. So hopefully this is going to give people an opportunity to not necessarily jump on ship to do things with you, but to give people an opportunity to recognize, all right, it's okay. A lot of people have this very same question. Now I have a resource to go ask that question to. And I think that's important. What would you say is the most common misconception people have about what you do? We're kind of gone through a lot of different things here. I'm curious to learn what you hear as an objection, or what you hear as, oh, I don't need help because of this. What's the biggest misconception people have about what Rachel does as a wellness or financial wellness coach?
This is easy. So just the other day, I was talking to somebody, and this is an example of something that happens to me all the time. It was in a group of people. There was like two or three, or there was like three or four of us. And somebody was mentioning something like, oh, you know, we just took a trip. And he turned and looked at me and said, well, I won't tell Rachel how much I spend on it. So it's very common that people think, oh, well, she's going to tell me I can't spend money, right? Like, she's going to tell me that I shouldn't be spending my money on XYZ and I shouldn't be doing this. And, oh, I don't want to tell her that I went to Starbucks three times this week. Like, that is not at all what I'm about. That is not at all what I help my clients with. That's not at all what I'm supporting my clients with. I'm supporting them in what their goals are. And if they're doing things and activities and habits that are creating the opposite of that goal, that's what we're going to talk about. But it's not about you not going on vacation. Is vacation extremely important to you? That's what we're going to figure out. If it's not, and yet you're doing it every year because you just feel like you should, well, then let's figure out a way to maybe put that money in a different place. But if going on vacation is extremely important to you and you haven't went for 3 years because you feel like you're not able to, then we've got to figure out what those habits are that you have or the things that you can cut back on to help you with that. So it's all about goals. And if your goal is to go to Starbucks every day of the week, it doesn't matter to me. You have to know what your goals are. And obviously I help support folks in really digging into what their goals are. And that's where I want people to spend their money. So it's not about never spending your money. That's crazy. You earn money, you make it. Why just have it sitting around looking pretty? Like, it's important to do something with it. But it's important to do what you really want to do with it and what's going to impact your life, and not just these little things here or there that are actually negatively impacting your life. We want to move away from those things and move towards things that are really helping you reach your goals.
Okay. I agree with that. I think coaching is a lot about accountability and choices more than it is the X's and O's of the financial statement or how much money they spent on a given item. Again, if that's part of your choices that lead to your goal, everything's good. If you start diverting attention from your goal to do other things, that's where the coach has to kick you back into play, right? The best way to think about it. This is an interesting question. I'm going to throw this back at you. What advice, Rachel, would you give 18-year-old Rachel?
In one word, I'll say relax.
Okay. And why is that?
So, I grew up, the way I grew up taught me two things. One very positive, one very not so positive. The positive was that I mentioned I taught myself all these things. I learned a lot about finances and budgets and credit scores and all that stuff. I taught myself those because I was interested, because again, how I grew up, that was positive. The not so positive was that I grew up to be constantly anxious and worried my money was going to disappear in any second. So I couldn't spend it. I had to save it. I couldn't go do anything. I couldn't enjoy my life. And so when I was 18 and going to college, I was very panicky about my student loans. And then after I graduated college, I was way more panicky about my student loans. And so in doing my own research and education on all of these things, it didn't help me relax. It didn't help me lead away from that anxiety, because that was my mindset. Like, I was doing the education and I had an understanding of what things meant, but my mindset hadn't shifted. And frankly, it didn't shift until I was in my mid-30s. So I was very anxious about paying off my school loans, because debt was like not okay. My house, if you borrowed 5 cents from somebody, you better pay it back, and you better not borrow it to begin with, because you might not have the 5 cents. and so there was so much anxiety that I really wasn't able to enjoy my own money until I was in my mid-30s.
What you brought up the word mindset, and I'm a big believer in mindset has a lot to do with behaviors, and behaviors have a lot to do with decisions. So what is it about the mindset that changes when somebody works with you?
So first of all, mindset literally affects the way you think about everything. That affects the way you think about everything. So a lot of people, when they're setting financial goals, they skip over that piece. They're just like, shoot, nope, we're just going to go straight to, I want to pay off my debt, and that's what I want to do. So I would say at least 70% of the work that folks do with me is mindset work, and 30% is putting numbers on paper and, you know, doing those things. But mindset is the absolute number one most important thing you can do, and the first thing you should start working on, because you're not going to be able to pay off your debt or to save this amount or whatever your goals are if your mindset is saying, I don't deserve it, I'm never going to make it happen, it's you know, my partner's not supportive, like whatever it is that you're thinking, if it's negative, it's going to prevent you from reaching your goals, no matter how wonderful your goals are and no matter how great your intention is. So, I mean, I've shared a little bit about my own money story. So one of the first things I do with my clients is talk about their money story. Like, what happened when you were a child around money? What were you taught? How did your parents respond to it? Because that helps people recognize, oh, this is why I'm responding this way to money now as a 40-year-old, because of something that I went through, probably as from my experience, from 0 to 22 until I was fully graduated from college. You know, like, I experienced a certain thing for a very large portion of my life, and I'm still feeling that way and responding that way because I've not really sat down to recognize why I'm doing it. And if you never sit down to recognize why you're doing it, there's a good chance you won't ever recognize it. Like, I had people calling me out and saying, why are you doing this? Like, why are you so afraid to spend money? Why can you not do X, Y, Z, whatever? Because you have money in the bank. Like, what's the deal? And it took people calling me out before I was like, why do I respond this way to money? Like, what, why? Like, I technically have $20 that I can go to lunch with my friend, but I feel very panicky about that. And so until I sat down to really start, and again, I didn't have anybody helping me, like I was doing this on my own. And so it took me longer, but it takes my clients. until I sat down to really recognize it myself, I didn't really fully understand. And did me understanding that literally change everything? No, but that is where the change starts to happen, right? Is when you start to recognize, oh, mm-hmm. This is why I feel this way in this type of a situation. Then you can start to say, okay, but now I have control. Like, as a child, I had no control over that type of a situation. And Now I do. And so now that I recognize that, I can start changing some of those negative thoughts I have into more positive thoughts that, you know, move me in the right direction instead of keeping me stuck.
So with that in mind, what advice would you give somebody that is going to watch this and they're right on the edge? Like, I don't know if I need this service. I don't know if I need help. What advice would you give somebody to at least get their mind in the right direction or their mind in the right space so they can think positively and more proactive about their money?
Yeah. So I would say two things. One is I really would encourage someone to write out their own money story. What was your money story starting from when you were young? What did you learn about money? And this doesn't even have to be like real true things that happened, but how did you perceive money? Like, how was it perceived? Like, as a child, I don't recall anybody ever saying money is stressful, money means anxiety, but that's how I perceived it. So, you know, that's very valid. And so writing out your money story, like literally physically or typing it, writing out the things, how did your parents respond? Did your parents argue about money? Were you taught anything about money? Did people tell you things like money doesn't grow on trees, or you've got it, you might as well spend it? Like, you know, what was taught to you as a kid? Write it down and share that with somebody. That okay. is very impactful when you are speaking it out loud. And, you know, if you have a partner, obviously that would be your best place. If you've decided to spend your life with this person, like that's an important thing to share with them. And of course, ask them to do it as well. Don't do it by yourself. But if you don't have a partner, or you frankly are just not comfortable, your best friend, you know, or tell a colleague who you don't really have that much of a relationship with, because maybe that's more comfortable for you. So you've got to find somebody who, you know, you feel at least okay, comfortable with, to share it. But sharing it out loud is going to be really, really impactful. So do that. And then the other thing, and I would recommend doing that first, the other thing is just start to recognize when you're saying things to yourself that are negative about money. So when you say things like, "Ugh, I could never afford that," or, "Well, it must be nice. I can't do that," or, "I'll never pay this debt off. Like, why even bother?" Start to try to stop yourself when you're saying those things and be like, "Wait, that's not a very nice thing to say. Like, that doesn't make me feel good. It makes me kind of feel the opposite mm-hmm. of good," right? When I'm saying those things. And so try to change some of that language into more positive language. Even if it sounds cheesy, I 100% guarantee it will be impactful in a very positive way when you start to recognize those things and shift that language into more positive words.
I love that advice. That is very positive, very forward thinking. And I think once you get people to be somewhat cathartic with their own story, it comes across, now it's almost, Rachel, it's a template to go back to and say, okay, remember back when yeah. you wrote yeah. this down, how that mm-hmm. made you feel, this is what we want to avoid, right? So let's make these decisions and let's go towards accountability and all the things that we've talked about today. We are running up against the clock. So one last question for you, if you don't mind, right? Okay. What is it that is the biggest thing you look forward to in the next 5 years? What is the story that Rachel will write in the next 5 years?
I think for lack of anything like more profound to say, it's just helping more people. Like I want, and I've had this thankfully, and I want it to keep happening, where I start working with a client and they say, "I really am not comfortable talking about money. I never have been. My partner maybe doesn't even know some of my money situation, and maybe I have debt they don't even know about," whatever. To 3 or 4 months later saying, "We've been talking about money and we've been doing it without arguing." Like, that's what I look forward to in my business, is having clients either come back to me years later or say it while we're still working together. Like, we are now able, and very lucky to have had this one particular couple I worked with who did say to me, like, we've been married for 25 years and we are having conversations about money for the very first time in our relationship, stress-free. It didn't start out that way, right? Even when they first started working with me, it wasn't that, wow. It's not like they meet with me once and they're great. But after time, I recommend my clients have regular weekly money dates with each other. And so after time, you doing that and you just getting a better understanding. And again, when you're meeting together at the same time and you're both hearing the same words I'm saying, that can be really helpful. And so that's what I look forward to, is just having more clients coming back and saying, "Hey, listen, like, because we've been working with you, or since we've been working with you, we've been able to have these conversations and they've been stress-free. And while sometimes it's not super fun, for the most part, they've been stress-free and we've been able to have them without arguing, where that wasn't the case, you know, before we started this journey." Yeah.
Excellent advice. And I look forward to seeing what your journey is in the next 5 years, because I think given what you have to offer and the person that I've known you to be, I think this is going to be an amazing 5 years for you. And then beyond, the sky's the limit. So best of luck to you on that.
Thank you, Scott.
And with that, thank you, Rachel, for being a part of the Business Spotlight. And we will see you guys next time.